Welcome back. It's good to gather together and worship as a family. Hope that you had a good week. And if you haven't had a good week, I'm still glad that you're here. Because as a church, we're here to worship God and to encourage one another and be reminded of the grace that God has for us. And it's a special time for us as a church. And if this is your first time here with us this morning, I want to give a special welcome to you. Thank you for taking the time to be here. If you would, go ahead and grab a Connect card that's in your bulletin. And if you'd go ahead and fill that out and put it in the offering box or give it to myself at the end of the service. I always joke, we're not going to sell your information or anything like that. But we really do want to get in touch with you so that you can hear our story as a church, who we are and what we believe. And we can hear your story as well and get a chance to connect with you too. So I hope you take the time to do that. If it's your first time, stick around. You don't have to run for the doors afterward. Get to know some people here. But go ahead and grab your Bibles. We'll be in the book of Romans, chapter 5. We'll be in verses 1 through 11. I like the book of Romans because it's written to Italians. So, you know, I got that going for me. So that's one of my favorite books. But this morning, I wanted to talk with us about our new record in Christ. I'm going to talk about our new record in Christ, all right? I'm not talking about music records this morning, all right? Maybe some of you guys are older here and you've got your old Eagles or Beatles albums. I don't know what kind of music maybe you used to get down to or still get down to. I used to have an old record player in my room growing up as a kid, and I'd jam out to Message in a Bottle by the Police and songs like Whip It from Devo, you know, and I'd have all the old albums, and I thought it was really cool, and then I'd go to school, and people are like, I have no idea. I'd never heard of that music before, and I was like, well, what do you guys listen to, you know? So I had to get with the times. But anyway, I'm not talking about music records. That's not what we're talking about this morning. We're talking about our new record as it relates to our relationship with God. We're talking about our new standing that we get in our relationship with Jesus Christ, in our position with God. So if you remember, we're continuing our series, which is What is a Healthy Christian? That's what we've been talking about. We've taken a break from Luke to talk about what does it mean to be a healthy Christian and to live as a healthy follower of Christ. And in week one, we talked about our vision as a church. Remember, we said our vision as a church is to be Christians who, firstly, receive new life in their relationship with Christ. Secondly, they share that life in Christian fellowship with one another, because let's face it, we need each other. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. We talked about that. Thirdly, we talked about how we're supposed to go and bring new life to others in Christ. We talked about how we can't bring life to anybody if we haven't received it and if we aren't sharing it in fellowship with others, right? So that's our vision for who we are as a church. And Colin preached last week from the book of Ephesians. He's not here this morning. We didn't fire him. He's sick. He might have strep throat, so we told him to stay at home and not share that with everybody. But if you remember, so say a prayer for him. I meant to say that. So please pray for him. And pray that I don't get it off this microphone either. But if you remember last week, he talked about, all right, well, what is new life in Christ? And from the book of Ephesians, we saw that it's being born again. It's having a new identity by turning from your sin and believing in Christ. So we've talked about new identity now. Today, we want to talk about our new record in Christ. Okay, the foundation's being laid. Imagine like we're building a skyscraper here. Maybe you've been downtown. You see everyone building everything. We're building up what it means to be a healthy Christian. And so we've got to know about our new record in Christ. So you guys have heard enough of me. Let's hear what God's Word has to say from the book of Romans, chapter 5. God's Word says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, but perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we've now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Amen. That's God's word for us. Let's go to him in a brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for this time that we have to open it. And God, we confess this morning, we come to you as a very needy people, Lord. We need to see Christ again and to be reminded again of all that he's accomplished for us. God, in the areas where we are struggling, and as this passage talked about, we go through suffering, Lord. We need to be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ so that we can hold fast to him, Lord. So please help us in this time. I pray, Lord, that we would learn again about all that Christ has accomplished for us so that we could take hold of our new identity and our new record in Christ, and that we would leave from this place encouraged and built up and strengthened in our walk with Christ so that we can go out and keep on living for you into the different callings that you've placed us all in, Lord. So please give me your words to say, and may we all see Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so this is a great passage of Scripture, and in it we've just heard the good news, right, that God gives you and I a new record through Jesus Christ. By his grace, God gives you and I a new standing, a new position in our relationship with God. And look with me again at verse 1. We'll start to unpack some of this. It says, therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So peace with God. I mean, that's greater than any kind of peace you can get. Peace in life, peace at work, peace in your family. They don't stack up to peace with God, the creator of everything. I mean, and this is good news. And you think, okay, I get that. Why does peace with God matter? Well, being a healthy Christian, if you want to live as a healthy follower of Christ, firstly, it involves that you have this new record, that you've gained this new standing through faith. But then secondly, as a Christian, it involves being aware of your new record in Christ. Because if you don't know who you are, if you don't know where you stand in your relationship to God, then you're not going to know how to live. You know, it's like all those movies and TV shows that are out there now. Like, amnesia seems to be the key plot point of like every TV series out there. Somebody wakes up in the middle of the street, they don't know who they are anymore. And then the rest of the plot is them figuring out how they're, you know, who they are and what they're supposed to be. And it's kind of similar in the Christian life. It's knowing who you are in Christ and then living in light of that. So to get our minds thinking in the right direction this morning, I don't want to let you guys down. I've always got some pictures, so let me paint you a picture. You know, people are always asking you the question, what's your record, right? What's your standing? And I think one of the most common ones is it's sports related, right? With fantasy football, this first picture here, some of you guys are getting ready to tee off against your opposing teammate. You're probably grabbing your cell phones right now saying, I forgot to check my lineup. Who do I have starting over which running back? You know, people ask you, what's your record? And, you know, I tend to lose a lot. And I say, well, it was a really good game, and these guys did good, and these guys did bad. And people go, I don't care about the ins and outs. Just tell me, did you win or lose? Are you a winner or are you a loser, right? And that's what people are asking when they're asking you your record. But another place, I think, where people ask you that question, this next picture here, is applying for a job, right? You go in for a job interview, you sit down, and what's one of the first questions that people ask you? What's your record, right? What's your experience? Tell me your skills. You're good, you're bad, you know, do you have a criminal record? They put you through a background check. Another one, if you've ever applied for health insurance recently, this next picture here, you get this big, long application, right? And, you know, the questions they ask you, you know, tell us about yourself. And say, I'd rather not tell you about myself. You know, I've got to give them your whole health record. They want your social security number. That's basically a numbered record that follows you around in your life, right? And other people, you know, I'm trying to just paint this picture here. You know, other people try to determine our record for us. They meet us. They're immediately sizing us up, and they're giving opinions about us. And they're trying to determine our record for us. Right? And there's nothing worse than someone who barely knows you, already making assessments, already passing judgment on you. You say, you know, I want to determine, you know, who I am. I don't need you to just try to tell me who I am for me. You haven't even gotten to know me yet. But I think even other than all these outside influences, right, even personally this morning, you and I ask ourselves what our record is. We want to know, how am I doing in life? What's my standing? You know, what does God think about me? What do other people think about me, right? We spend a lot of time thinking about, what's my record? And the reason I bring these things up this morning is because the world is telling us a lot of different things about our record. I think a common one that the world tells us is, you can't change your record. That whoever you are, whatever you've done, you're stuck with it. It's just basically going to follow you throughout the rest of your life. It is what it is, and you can't change anything about it. And so the world says, when your record and with your standing, you just got to sort of play down your mistakes, play down your bad side and your sins and the parts of your life that you're not proud of. You have to sort of just play those down and play up the good, right? Your achievements, your accomplishments, play these things up really good, play them up louder over the negative things, and then you'll sort of have achieved this great record for yourself. And that's basically what the world presents to you and I. That's the world that you and I live in. And it's basically, this is what it results in. We live in a world where people are either trying to run away from things they can never seem to get away from. They're always running from things, maybe in their own life or in the life of people around them, they can't get away. Or they're chasing down goals that they can never seem to achieve. They're trying to accomplish something, and even when they get there, it doesn't satisfy. You don't find self-worth like you thought you'd find in that thing. And so you have this running away from, and you have this chasing down things. And so what does the Bible have to say about all this? The Bible says, instead of trying to polish up your record and your standing, instead of trying to polish up the old record, you need a new record in Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. You're not accepted based on how you're doing. You're accepted because of what Christ has done. And then you live in light of that. So through faith in Christ, you become a new creation. You get a new record, a new standing with God, and so you get a new way of thinking about yourself. That's what Paul is trying to explain here in Romans chapter 5, saying you have peace with God now. And so in our seeking to be healthy Christians, the first question really is, have you ever received this new record through faith in Christ? But then for us as believers, I want to ask you this, how's your awareness of your standing with God this morning? Sure, we're here. It's a Sunday morning. We're all gathered. We're worshiping. It's easy to remember that God loves us, that He has grace for us, that we're new in Christ. But as soon as Monday morning comes, and by the time Wednesday gets here, it's harder to know what our record and what our standing before God is. And so if we want to be healthy Christians, we've got to know our new record in Christ. So knowing it matters, as we begin to look more, let's dive into God's Word now. And I think there's at least three key areas. This is not exhaustive, but I think there's at least three key areas in understanding our new record in Christ. The first one is, we're justified in Christ. We're justified in Christ. The second one is, we're righteous in Christ. And the third one is, we're united with Christ. That's what Paul lays out in this chapter for us here. These are wonderful truths, but don't just take it from me. Let's dive in, and we'll start unpacking God's Word this morning. So look again, first couple verses. I'll read them again, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So through mine and yours believing in Jesus, our record has completely changed. You and I have peace with God now. More than that, the Bible says we have access to God. We're not separated and cut off from Him anymore. And more than that, it says that we rejoice in God now. His glory is not a terrifying thing to us. Can you guys remember before you became a Christian that the sense of God's glory was just a terrifying thing, right? But Paul says now that you're standing in a position of grace and you're not standing in a position of wrath anymore, that God's glory is actually a joyful thing for you now. You're not afraid of God anymore. We have peace with God, we have access to His grace, and that makes us rejoice in who God is. And you know why that's so good? It's because that's not how we started out, right? We didn't start out having peace with God. We were enemies with God. We didn't always have access to God, right? We were separated from God. Instead of rejoicing in the glory of God, you and I used to be glorying in ourselves, right? I don't know if any of you can relate with that. God's glory didn't mean a thing to you till you came to Christ. We were just living for our own glory, right? So God has changed us. And I want to say why being justified matters. Let's talk about it. God's response to our sin is judgment and wrath. That's because God is holy and because God is just. So since we're talking about being justified this morning, we got to talk about the justice of God. Not many of you guys know this. I'm a sleep talker. I hope that many of you guys actually wouldn't know that. It'd be kind of creepy if you guys would be watching me while I sleep or something like that. Only my wife should probably know that. But I'm a sleep talker. I talk a lot in my sleep. And when I was in Bible college, I had a roommate. His name was Chris. He'd stay up real late, and I had class early, so I'd go to bed. And one night he was staying up late. I think he was reading his Bible, or he was just spending some time praying. You know, he was going through some things, and he heard me rustling around, and I rolled over, and I just sat like straight still in my bed. And in my sleep, I said, "God is just." I said it just like that. It's probably like 2 a.m. in the morning, and he looked over at me like, "Oh my gosh, like I'm going to get hit by lightning or something," you know. And so that kind of scared him. He goes, "Do you remember saying that last night?" I said, "No idea." So, you know, that's pretty funny. We go back and forth. God is just, you know. But I talk about that because God is just. Our world doesn't talk about the justice of God much. God is good where we are not good. God is right where you and I are wrong. He's pure where we are evil. And so God's response of judgment and wrath, it's right. But here's the good news this morning, guys. God is also loving and gracious. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. If you've never read 1 and 2 Peter, they are good short epistles to read. He wrote and said, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." But there's a problem, or a hurdle, if you will, right? Because God is holy and just, he couldn't just wink at our sin and say, "It's really not that bad. I'm just going to give you a free pass and let you into heaven." God, being just, could not just wink at our sin and let us off the hook. It cost God his only son, Jesus. Christ came and he lived in our place. He was faithful where you and I should have been faithful. And he died on the cross as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We need to remember that if we're going to be confident that we are justified before God. Because our being at peace with God is not dependent upon our own works or upon our own things we try to offer to God and make it up to him now. It's been settled because the Holy Son of God was crucified in our place. He satisfied God's wrath against our sin. Payment's been made in full, if you will. It's like you're standing in line and someone else takes your bill and someone pays it in full and you come next in line. You can't give extra payment for that now. They say it's been satisfied. You're justified now because that other person took care of it for you. And when God raised Christ from the dead, it shows us that God accepted what Christ did on our behalf. And so God calls us to believe in Christ now so that we'd be justified through faith and not through trying to justify ourselves in God's eyes. Instead, he says, look to Jesus and trust in his work on your behalf and receive that peace with God now. And God did this, it says a page back in Romans 3:26, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So it's God's not just downplayed our sins. He's not just giving us a free pass and saying, "Okay, you've done enough for me now. I'll let you go." He's saying, "I judged your sin in Christ. And because of your faith in him, you are now justified in my eyes. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ." It's like being on trial and you're in a courtroom and you're found guilty. And as the judge prepares to pass sentence, he appoints that another man, an innocent man, would come down and he passes judgment on that man and says, "You are free to go. You are justified. You've satisfied this court now." That's what the Bible says that God has done for us in Christ. One more passage of scripture. I'm really sharing a lot on this to drive it home. Isaiah 53:5 says that Jesus was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement or the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Not maybe healed, not maybe cleansed of our sins. It says we are forgiven. We are healed. We're declared justified in Christ. And in Romans 8, that's what prompts Paul to write and say, "If God is for us, who can be against us? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who's going to condemn us now? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is now pleading on our behalf." So it's not us pleading our case before God. Christ is pleading our case before God. And that's why we're justified before him. I'm driving this home this morning because now, as Christians, we need to understand God's judgment, it's in your favor now. God is for us now. Do you know that the only way, for starters, that you can be justified in God's eyes is through faith in Jesus? Maybe this is your first time back to church in a long time, and you know there's a lot of different ideas out there about how you can get right with God. Let me tell you, there's not enough religious activity or good things in the world that can get you peace with God. All of us here this morning are all in the same boat. The only way we can have peace with God is through believing in Jesus Christ, through trusting not in our work, but in His work on the cross. And God will count that faith as righteousness on your behalf. Maybe you're here this morning as a believer. I think all of us just need to be reminded that as we're justified in God's eyes, we didn't do anything to sort of gain that. It's only Jesus and only our faith in Him alone. So maybe if we're boasting, you know, pride creeps up in our hearts big time. We think, maybe I'm not so bad. Jesus needs to save other people. He saved me a long time ago, and now I'm really good, and I'm a goody two-shoes. But, man, that's just pride and boasting. Like, we have peace only because of what Christ did. But I think once we understand that, I ask you this question. As a believer this morning, do you know that you have peace with God? Do you know that you and God are on good terms? What's disturbing your peace this morning, right? What's unsettling your peace? This is a time for us to just think openly and think frankly. If it's because of some present sin, some struggle in your life, let me tell you, sin will wreck your peace as a follower of Christ. And the Bible says you need to repent of that and put it off. We're all in the same boat. We need to do that this morning. But if it's memories of past sin that are disturbing your peace, if you're thinking of past sins, we've all got them. We've all got those really bad sins, if you know what I'm talking about, those ones that we think of that makes us realize I'm not as great as I think I am. Those things can make us feel like we don't have peace with God. But the Bible says it doesn't matter how bad it is. It's been covered by the blood of Christ. You are justified in God's eyes through faith in Jesus. It doesn't matter what past sin that is. It's been covered by the blood of Christ. Maybe this morning, it could be that you still have a fear of God's judgment in your life, that you're a Christian now and you're following Jesus, but you're worried that God is going to drop the hammer on you. He's not a God who's up there on an anthill just waiting to smite you. All of God's judgment has been taken in Christ. That fear is not a godly fear anymore if you're worried about God's judgment upon you as a Christian. That shouldn't disturb your peace. Maybe this morning, even just personally, it's your own conscience. For the longest time, I struggled having assurance as a believer because my own conscience, I would feel like, man, how can God love me? I'm such a sinner, you know? How can that truly have been paid for? How can God really see me as justified? And when you throw a pity party for yourself, only you and the devil show up at your own pity party. And the devil is also the great accuser. And so he comes on board and says, yeah, you're not in right standing with God, but we need to take this truth and see that Christ is greater than our own conscience, and He's greater than the devil. And we've been declared justified. If I sound like a broken record, it's because we need to get this into our hearts and minds so that we change the way that we think about ourselves. That's why Paul is writing this. Jesus is living. He's interceding on our behalf now with His own blood. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ. So as a believer then, do you know that you have access to God? Do you know that the way to God for you is open? You know, as believers, I think one of the things that keeps us from reading God's word and praying to Him is we think that we're not under grace, but that we're under law, and that our standing with God is based upon how we've done that week. And if we've had a bad week, well, then we say, well, me and God aren't on good terms. I can't go pray to Him. I gotta try to clean things up in my life a little bit first, and then I can get to my Bible, and then I can go to those things. Look, we're not only saved by grace, but we live by grace now. That's not true. We need to put off sin, but we always come to God by His grace. So this morning, I'm asking you again, just to think frankly, what's keeping you from going to God? As a believer in Christ, you have access to Him. You stand in a position of grace. There's nothing that can keep you out of His presence. He's drawing us in now. Christ has settled that for us. And so I think another encouragement, what does all this peace with God mean? Listen now to verses 3, 4, and 5. It says, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. What did he just say? We rejoice in our sufferings? That's what it says. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And he goes on to explain that. So our peace with God, we find out, doesn't mean that we have peace in the world. Our peace with God doesn't mean you're going to have peace in the world, but it will allow you to endure whatever sufferings you're going through this morning. So I'll ask you this. Are you rejoicing in your sufferings? Whatever trial you're going through right now, it might be personal, it might be self-inflicted, it might be something that is the responsibility of others, something that other people are responsible for, but all the same, you are suffering. Your peace with God will enable you to endure that suffering. And when you're suffering, you're not losing in life. I think we need to be encouraged by that. When we suffer, our character is winning. We are being refined and becoming more like Christ. And our peace with God, I don't know about you guys, I haven't found anything else in my life that allows me to endure suffering except for the fact that I have peace with God. I mean, if work is rough, if money's tight, if you're having marriage struggles and you're trying to work through being at odds with each other, those things will unsettle you, and it should hopefully drive you back to taking hold of your peace with God and saying, God, I know my standing with you is unshakable, and I have peace with you so that I can live and endure whatever challenges I'm going through. That's why Paul now talks about suffering. So don't have an aversion to suffering. If you're going through that right now, you're in a good spot. And take heart, because there's other people in the community of Old Brooklyn and Cleveland at large that are suffering, and they need to hear about the gospel of grace. That's for them as well, that being a Christian is not about the easy life and being happy, healthy, and wealthy. That's not what following Christ is about, and people need to hear the gospel. We've talked about a lot in that. Let's move on now. So we've talked about being justified in Christ. I want to talk now about being righteous in Christ, right? Think of like a surfer dude, you know, righteous man. Let's talk about being righteous in Christ, okay? Listen to this passage of Scripture. I don't have it there in your listening guide, but 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake," this is being God, "He made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." God wants us to become his righteousness. What does that mean? Well, I think it's helpful to think of other scriptures. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6 says that God has blessed us in the beloved. So hear this morning. As Christians, not only are you forgiven, but you are favored by God. Not only are we forgiven and put in right standing, but we are favored by God. God actually loves us. Like, we're not just the scab on God's elbow that's like, oh, God, thank you for saving me back there, and now, oh my, just help me, I'm struggling all the time, God must really hate me. He actually favors us. Like, he loves us now in Christ, is what the Bible says. Not only do we have peace with God, we have love from God. In Romans 5, getting back to our passage now, verse 8 says, God shows his love for us, and that while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we've been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. And here's the point. If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we're reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. So what these passages are saying is God didn't come to just give us half a salvation. He didn't come to just get us out of the red, out of debt, and then say, okay, now the rest is up to you. Good luck with the rest of life. If you mess up, if you blow it, you're going to fall out of my good graces. That's not what God came to give us. He came to give us a full salvation where he not only gets us out of the red, but into the black, like into the profitability, if you will. God is favoring us in Christ now. He desired that we would actually become his righteousness. So what does it mean to be righteous in God's eyes? It means that your sin has been atoned for, but it also means that we perfectly obey God. There's a problem because none of us perfectly obey God, even as Christians. We still sin. But Jesus was perfect on our behalf. So hear this morning. Christ's death on the cross was counted to your record, and also his perfect obedience was counted to your record. So when God sees you now, he doesn't see just your shortcomings as a follower of him. He sees Christ's perfect obedience on your behalf. You're favored with God now. God wants us to be his righteousness. You know, oftentimes I think you and I as believers, we fall, we think that we can fall in and out of our good standing with God. And I liken it to being a lot like Eeyore, you know. You guys know Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore the donkey. He's walking around and he's always hanging his head and he's, oh me, oh my, you know, oh bother, you know. And he's the depressed donkey from Winnie the Pooh. That's the best way I can say it. And I have to laugh, but I mean, can you guys relate with that in your spiritual experience? Even as followers of Christ, we think, okay, good, God has saved us. Now we get so tunnel visioned in this idea that we're just making it up to God now, and that we can't ever obey God perfectly enough, and that God's not happy with us. Look, he said that we would become the righteousness of God. So when we struggle against sin, we need to put it off, but it should never cause us to despair that you've blown your standing with God. You cannot sin your way out of God's grace. And you say, well, doesn't that make you just want to sin all the more? It actually doesn't. That's not been my experience. We are secure in Christ because he perfectly obeyed God on our behalf. So you're not only forgiven this morning, you are favored in God's eyes as a follower of him. When we say Jesus paid it all, that's what he's gained, God's forgiveness and God's favor. So when you're flying high spiritually, you know, it's still only Jesus' righteousness that's keeping you there. You don't need to get prideful, but when you are in a low point, spiritually speaking, you need to know that God still sees you as righteous in Christ. He's still happy with you. He still loves you. God delights in us now, and he deals with us as children. When he disciplines us, it's not to cast us out of his presence. When you have to pray to God and confess your sins to him, he's not going to smite you as a believer. He's going to discipline you as a child. And so firstly, I think, you know, it's good to know this morning, the only way you can gain God's favor is through Jesus Christ. If you're trying to make God happy with you by religious attendance or by other good deeds, you need to know that God's already given his favor to you through Christ. If you're not a believer and you've been trying to gain God's favor some other way, it's not going to cut it. No amount of good deeds or money or volunteerism is going to get you right in God's eyes. And you need to turn from your own efforts and believe in Christ. But as a believer, you need to leverage this truth and know that you can't make God love you more or love you less. You need to know that you're righteous in Christ because of what he's done for you. I think it's important to know this in our lives. Do you know that in light of this truth, that God is not only for you, but he's no longer against you? Like, he is on your side. So I ask you, where is it hard for you to believe that God sees you as righteous? When you're struggling with a certain sin that you know you need to put off, do you know that God is not seeking your destruction? That he's not seeking to just put you away out of his presence? That he still loves you even in your fight against sin? I think another one is, if you are struggling through a trial, do you know that God's favor doesn't mean he's going to give you money or health and wealth through that? It's not just about making your suffering go away. He wants to form Christ in you. So hear this, that like when God is favoring us, it doesn't mean he's going to make our life easy. He may actually allow more suffering into your life because he loves you. And he's going to form Christ in you, and that's worth far more than money or health and wealth. So I ask you this morning, if God has made us the righteousness of God through his son Jesus, do you actually want to become that as a believer? You should want to desire what God has given you in Christ. That should play itself out in our lives. That's what it means for us to be counted righteous in Christ and to be justified. So finally this morning, in talking about our new record in Christ, we've talked about being justified and being righteous. The last one to talk about this morning is our being united with Christ. Romans 5, verse 11, the last verse of this passage, says, "More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." And here another passage from Galatians 2:20. It says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So what holds these things together, our being justified, our being righteous in Christ, is that God has now united you and I to Christ. That's what holds it all together. The Bible tells us that we are in Christ, that Christ is in us, that we are like Christ, and that Christ is with us as believers now. This is a wonderful truth that we're united with Christ. It's a lot of prepositions. It sounds like a lot of hooked on phonics here, but our having peace with God and having God's forgiveness and favor, it flows to us by the fact that God has united us with His Son. So we've been crucified with Christ. So we're dead to our sin now. We've been raised with Christ. So we are alive to God now. Those are the truest things about us that can't change because it's not based on our efforts. It's based upon what Christ already finished for us. You know, it's like when you bond chemicals together. You know, they're changed in a fundamental way. My wife's a big baker, so you get a lot of baking pictures. You know, when you put those ingredients together and you mix them, you can't undo what's been baked. You know, when that comes out of the oven, they can't go back to being what they were before. And that's what happens when we are united with Christ. And that's what Romans 6:5 says of us. It says, if we've been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Everything that's true of Jesus is now true of us. And by God's grace, through faith in Jesus, it's applied to your account. So you're not just you anymore as a believer. Christ is living in you, and you are living in Christ. In Romans 6:10, he says, for the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also, you must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So as a believer, it's not whether you feel like it or not. Like, do I feel like counting myself dead to sin? Do I feel like counting myself alive to God? You've been united with Christ, and it's our responsibility to live like that now. Those are the truest things about us. We're not stuck in our old sins anymore. We're not dead to God. We're dead to sin and alive to God now. And Christ is in us to help us live for Him. So finally this morning, I think last couple questions to ask you is, are you living that out in your life? Are you living out your union with Christ as a believer in Him? Are you counting yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ? There's no gray area either. You're either in Christ or you're outside of Christ. And the only way you get in Christ is by repenting and turning and believing in Him. For us as believers, hear this. You have Christ's life in you now. All of God's blessings come to you through Him. Christ Himself is our peace. So take hold of that in your life. Christ Himself is our pattern living in us now. So in your walk with Christ, if you're unsure like what God's will is for your life or what He has for you, you just need to see Jesus as your pattern and say, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus work my job? How would Jesus live in my marriage? As I love other people and listen to others around me, if I'm united with Christ, how does Christ want to live through me in this particular moment? Getting that He's the truest thing about you now. But here's the good news. We can't do any of these things on our own. But because Christ is in us, He's our power now. That's the good news. It's not just up to our own strength. We're not supposed to try and go live for Jesus without Jesus. Right? His power is now at work in us. So where you find it's hard to do those things in your life, ask God to help you. Ask God to give you strength through Christ so that you can be obedient in these areas. And that's why we talk about and end with communion every week, because it reminds us of what Christ has done on our behalf. All of these things, our being justified, our being righteous in God's eyes, our being united with Him, it comes to us through Jesus' body and through His blood being broken and shed on the cross for us. So this new way of thinking has been finished by Christ's work on our behalf. So if you're not a believer this morning, again, I urge you to hold off. Consider your need for Christ. Come talk with me or someone else down front here, or talk with us after the service and talk about how you can give your life to Christ. And you can have this new record. But for us as believers, I'll ask you this morning. You've now heard what your new record in Christ is. Thank God where it's going well and you're able to live that out in your life. But anywhere where the Spirit is laying that on your heart right now, don't go out of here without doing business with God. And ask Him to help you take hold of these truths in Christ so that you can live out who you are as a follower of Him. And then as we confess those things, we'll come and take communion together and celebrate and reflect on all that God is continuing to do for us. So to prepare our hearts and get us in the right direction, I'd ask you to please stand, and we'll read some passages of Scripture together this morning. And if you'd please read the capitalized portions with me. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thank you. You can be seated. So that's what's before us. I'll lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll take some time to reflect. And then as you feel led, come forward and take communion. We also give our offerings in this time. We give because Christ has given all. That's why we do that in our church here as an act of worship. And so I'll go ahead and lead us in a prayer, and then we'll move about the house. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the new record that you give us in Christ. That God, your grace towards us in Christ is sufficient for us in all things, Lord. And we confess how easy it is, Lord, to lose sight of that. And so often we become dependent upon ourselves, Lord. And when we do that, we fall short of living the way that you've called us to do. But God, we thank you for giving us new life in Christ, for counting us righteous in him, and giving us peace with you, God. And so we take hold of those things now, and we trust in your Son and for all that he is for us. And God, we ask earnestly that you would help us to live that reality out in our life, Lord. We thank you for where that is going well, but God, in our lives where it's not, we ask that you would please help us to live as a child of God, and help us to do it by relying on Christ's strength, Lord. And we pray that as people hear us talking about our new standing and our standing in a position of grace with you, that they too would hear about their need for Christ, and that they would come to faith for you, or come to faith in you, Lord. And so we just ask that you continue to be with us in this time. We pray for anyone here, Lord, who does not yet know you. We pray that you would lay it on their hearts to speak with someone today about giving their lives to Christ. God, we love you and we give you thanks. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.